Wanted to move on to Haseba today. Haseba by women, Haseba for lefties, Haseba, you know, on the right side, left side, backwards, and all around, all of those different halachos. So what I asked you to take a look at, and you zipped right through the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. So Beis Yosef quotes two deos, and it's really the Rashbam on the bottom of Daf Kuf Chesam Aleph. Two deos, why it is that an isha does not require a seba, but an isha chashuva does require a seba. Right? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says an isha etzel baila does not need a seba, but an isha chashuva does require a seba. So first order of business is why would an isha not need a seba? If she's chayiv in the mitzvah salayla, which we keep on saying she is, whether it's afin or yibosan. Whatever it is, she's chayiv in the mitzvah halayla, so why shouldn't she require a seba? So Rashbam quotes two deos. Number one, he says, "Mipnei emas baila ukfufalo," because of some reverence or fear of her husband, and she is kafuf to him. The way Rashbam Zalman says it over, she's like a shivcha to her husband. Umefarish b'she'iltos t'ravachai lav darkayu dinashi l'mizkut. She'ilto says a little differently. And no, it's just not normal for women to drink wine. Women don't do a seba, they don't drink wine by seba. That's just not a normal thing for women to do. That it's just not. Men are wine drinkers. That was always the assumption. Women are not heseba people. It's just not the way they sit. L'may nafkamina. Yeah.
So, but they're drinking wine. So as long as they drink wine, they're not really.
So they say the mizgo over here means to lean. That even if they do drink wine, it's not normal for them to lean. That's just women don't lean. Men lean. Women don't lean. Is it a tznius issue? I don't know. But that's just not the derech. Women were more proper. They would. I don't know. They just didn't lean. Men would lean. That was the. That's the svara of the she'iltos. But anisha chashuva. You know, carrying it forward for each opinion, according to the Rashbam, makes a lot of sense. Nisha Chashuva is not kafuf to her husband. And according to the She'iltos, Nisha Chashuva, it is the Darech Talin. Maybe Nisha Chashuva does take it easy a little bit more and it doesn't have to be quite as proper as a woman who's not an Isha Chashuva. So, what is the definition of Nisha Chashuva? Just in terms of what the words mean, Isha Chashuva. So the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, quotes from Rabbeinu Manoach three different potential definitions of the term Isha Chashuva. Number one, an Isha She'ein Laba. A woman who's not married. She's the Giveret Habayis. She's in charge of the house. She doesn't have a husband. Now that exact case of an isha that's a grusha, an almana, unmarried, that would be the nafkamina between the Rashbam and the Shiltos, right? The Rashbam says the reason a woman doesn't lean is because of the husband, but without a husband, so she wouldn't lean, which would mean any woman without a husband, by definition, is immediately put into the category of isha chashuva, so she gets to lean. Whereas the Shiltos apparently would say, no, it's not about the husband, it's about what the derech is for women to do. So the Shiltos cannot translate Isha Chashuva that way. He cannot understand Isha Chashuva just means a woman who's in charge of her own house. He must mean something else. So second possibility of Isha Chashuva, he says, is She Chashuva B'pri Yadeha Bas Gidolei Adar Eisha Schayil Yiras Hashem. She is from a very prominent family, a big Yirei Shemayim. She's someone who's a very important, highly accomplished religiously kind of person. And then the third possibility, says, Isha Chashuva, she has a lot of Avadim Ushvachos, she has a lot of people working for her. Now the She'iltos may understand that the definition of Isha Chashuva over here is a woman who it's not about avadim ushvachos per se, because the reason she wasn't leaning in the first place was not because she had to be working, it was just that it was ein derech, that it's not the normal way of women to lean. He may be referring to a woman who is more chashuv than her husband, or who is who's from a politically powerful family, from royalty, something like that. Something where she grew up in such an environment where that was the normal thing for her to do. But that's the very basic halacha from the Gemara, that if a woman, a regular woman, does not lean, but an isha chashuva does lean, machlokas Rashbam and the She'iltos, why a regular woman doesn't lean, nafkamina, for a grusha and an almana. How do we paskin Shulchan Aruch? So this is where it gets interesting. Shulchan Aruch paskins isha ena tzricha seba ella imkeini chashuva. Good, that's exactly what we would expect. That's straight from the Gemara. Woman doesn't need unless she's nisha chashuva. Then says the Rama, how do we define nisha chashuva? V'kol ha'nashim shalanu mikri chashuvos. Definition is, if you've met one, she is a chashuva. Anyone you have ever met is an isha chashuva. All of our women are isha chashuva, are in the category of isha chashuva. Now what's the svara? If isha chashuva means a single woman, so no, all of our women are not single. Baruch Hashem, as even though unfortunately there is a shidduch crisis, but Baruch Hashem, there are many women that in fact are married. So what do you mean? That can't be the definition of Isha Chashuva. Isha Chashuva, avadim u'shvachos? Nope. Many women nowadays, believe it or not, do not have avadim u'shvachos. What does he mean? All women nowadays have the status of an Isha Chashuva? This is a comment, the Rama didn't make this up. He tells you where he got it from. Mordechai and Rabbeinu Yeruchim. This is a comment that the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it's quoted by all the Rishonim, and the Rama is just recording the comment. So he says that that's the, that all Nashim are considered Chashuvos. So what's Pshat that all Nashim are considered Chashuvos? So how did you understand that all Nashim are considered Chashuvos? So if the reason a woman is pata from leaning is because Amos Baila, she has this awe and respect for her husband, so then we could understand that the nature of relationships may have changed. That women generally are the ones that are the more in charge in the household than women were, than men are, and therefore women are all Nashim Chashuvos. That's just the way relationships work nowadays. In the Lashon of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it used to be that women were like a shivcha etzel baila; they were like a maid to their husbands, and that is no longer the case. That is that does not happen anymore. You're all single; don't get your hopes. I mean, whatever, wherever your hopes are, that doesn't happen. That is not the way things work anymore. So every woman is an isha chashuva. Even a married woman is an isha chashuva because she's in charge of, what is it, the definition of isha chashuva? Why do we say a single woman is the definition of isha chashuva? Because a single woman is in charge of her own household. Well, guess what? Nowadays, a married woman is in charge of her own household as well. And what about according to the Shilta? Said it's just not the derech for women to lean. So what but an isha chashuva, it is the derech for an isha chashuva to lean? So how is every woman an isha chashuva? So you could say that this doesn't go like the Shiltos, that this is against the Shiltos, right? The Shiltos would say different. Now, the Rama continues, another twist in what?
Maybe it does go like the Shiltos, but nowadays everyone is that kind of, I mean, now it applies to every single woman. Every single woman would.
It's a hard sell to say that every woman leans nowadays. Cause
not leans, but every woman has one, is okay with that kind of...
Meaning no one's too dignified to lean. If women don't lean, it's because it's uncomfortable. It's not because they're too dignified.
Yeah, the reason why they're
too okay, good. That could very well be. Then says the Rama, Ach lo nogu lahasev ki samchal divrei ravya. The cost of the bizman is ayin lahasev. But the meaning is that women don't lean because there's samech on the shita of the ravya who says that leaning just doesn't make any sense anymore nowadays. So why would you lean? It just doesn't make any sense. When people are free and royal or whatever, you go to a state dinner, you know, in the White House, nobody's leaning. Everyone's sitting up. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It just doesn't happen anymore. So that's, and women are samech on the ravya. So the obvious kasha, the Velt asks on the Rama, mimanoshah, is the ravya right or is the ravya wrong? If the ravya is right, that it's just not normal anymore, so then women shouldn't lean, but neither should men. Because it just doesn't make sense anymore. If the Ravya is wrong, and for some reason we believe women really are, that we believe that it still makes sense to lean, well then why would women be samech on the Ravya? Why is it the Ravya didn't differentiate between men and women? The Ravya just said it makes no sense to lean. You know what leaning is nowadays? It's uncomfortable, it's annoying, it's not, you don't feel freedom, says the Ravya. And he was talking men and women alike. So why would women be samech on the Ravya, but not men? That's the kasha that all the Achronim ask. So on the one end, you could say, well, women is already a discussion whether they have to lean in the first place. Do you want to buy that every isha is an isha chashuva? Maybe not. So women is already a discussion. It's already a suffix whether women have to lean in the first place. So you throw in the ravya, it's kilu like a svek sveka, and therefore they won't have to lean. Whereas men, there's no suffix. A man has to lean, so the ravya is not enough to exempt a man from leaning. Okay, that's one possible approach. That it's almost like a svek sveka. I don't want, it's not literally a svek sveka because you would only need one suffix, but it's like this extra consideration, an extra sniff lahak held by women that maybe we're not so eager to buy into the idea that every woman is nisha chashuva and therefore chayiv in a seba. So male, if we're not so eager to buy into that idea, and you put that together with the ravya, so we're willing to exempt women. But when it comes to men, every man is chayiv in a seba. So if a man is chayiv in a seba, the ravya is not going to be enough to exempt him. So that's one approach. Second, I want to share three approaches with you. Good. Second approach is Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's what I asked you to take a look at this morning, and you did, right? You took a look. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says as follows, and tell me if I'm understanding it correctly, because I did not take a look at it this morning. But Rav Shlomo Zalman, if I recall correctly, says as follows, that of course the Ravya is right. The Ravya said it doesn't make sense to lean anymore. No one feels any sense of cheiros when they lean. Of course he's correct. No one feels any sense of cheiros whatsoever when they lean. Right? That's obvious. So Taka, why do men lean? Why is it that men still lean if no one feels any sense of cheiros? So one simple answer, tradition. That's what the Chacham were misake. That's what they decided in the times of Chazal that people should do. So we maintain that tradition. We continue to keep up that tradition and lean. So Sefer Shlomo Zalman, as simply as you could possibly say it, women have no such tradition to maintain. Because in the times of the Chazal, most women were not Nashim Chashuvos. So there never developed a tradition for women to lean. Mimela, there's no reason to compel women to lean. If it still made sense to lean, so then we would all do it. Men and women would all do it. Now that it doesn't make sense to lean, the Rav Yehuda is obviously right, it doesn't make sense anymore to lean. So we don't do it because it makes sense. We do it because once Rav Yisrael was Mekabalit based on Takanas Chazal, we're not allowed to go and undo Takanas Chazal. We have to continue to maintain practices that have been around since the times of Chazal. We can't just, you know, as fashionable as it might be, we're not allowed to go and just say, oh, Chazal, you know, we're talking about whatever, this, that, and we're gonna change all the Minhagei Yisrael, all the Takanas of Chazal, or Dinim that Chazal made. We can't change that. Of course we have to continue to lean. But there never was a din. There never was a practice for women to lean. Because most of the women were not Nashim Chashuvos. So nowadays, even though all the women are Nashim Chashuvos, there's no tradition to uphold. There's no tradition to maintain. That's how Rav Shlomo Zalman understands. Yeah?
When do we apply the concept of Batel Tam?
Ah, so this is a very, very good question. When is it that we say that if the tam of the gezerah is no longer there, so the gezerah goes away? And when do we assume that even when the tam is no longer there, you need a bezin that's gadol men b'chachma minyan to be mevatel gezerah, and you can't otherwise just be mevatel gezerah? I think in Eretz Tzvir, Rav Shechter has a piece on gezerahs and takanas d'rabbanan, and one of his yisodos is that whenever the reason for the gezerah is built into the wording of the gezerah. The Chazal didn't just make a gezerah do this, but they did. The lashon of the gezerah was do this because. Whenever they included the tam in the wording of the gezerah itself, then when that tam is no longer there, the gezerah goes away. But if the tam was only the motivation for the gezerah, but it was not included in the wording of the gezerah, that when Chazal issued their edict, they sent out letters, do this. They may have had all sorts of reasons why they want you to do this, but they didn't include that in the wording of the gezerah itself. Well, then we say, even if we're familiar with what their reasons were, we assume that the din does not go away even if the reasons go away. What's the logic for that? So the logic might be that if they included the reason in the wording for their gezerah, that was their way of saying that we're making this gezerah for one reason and one reason only. This is the reason. And they included the reason in the gezerah. When they had reasons for making gezerah but didn't include the reason in the wording of the gezerah, that may be because they had multiple reasons. And even though we think we know the reason for the gezerah, there may have been more than one reason for the gezerah. And therefore, just because one of the reason that we're most familiar with went away, doesn't mean the gezeira is going to go away. Unless you have a basin gadol b'chachma minyan. Why? Because a basin that's gadol b'chachma minyan is going to be able to figure out all the potential reasons for this gezeira to exist, and they'll be able to figure out whether the gezeira should or should not continue to exist. But without a basin gadol b'chachma minyan, such a gezeira has to stay. But over here, I don't think we even get into that discussion. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't think is even touching on that discussion, because over here it's not about the gezeira was for men. The gezeira wasn't for men, so we're not being mevatel the gezeira. We're saying that the men, adrabah, the men have to keep the gezeira. The men have to keep it. There's nothing that they could do, even though the tam doesn't apply. The question is, why don't the women have to keep it? Because there never was such a gezeira. The way it was practiced. See, part of the gezeira is important. Part of the gezeira is not just the rule, but it's the way that it was accepted. If Chazal make a gezeira, she'en rova tzibur yicholun lamud bo, you familiar with that concept? A gezeira she'en rova tzibur yicholun lamud bo. A gezeira that people are not ready to accept. So the gezeira is null and void from Meikara. It's as if it never existed. If Chazal tried and failed because the tzibur was not able to handle it, what? So that became, right, Ein Tzibur Yicholun Lamud Ba. But let's say it never even takes hold in the first place, because the Tzibur couldn't do it. That's beyond the powers of Chazal to make such a Gezeira. What you see from there is that the Gezeira is not only binding based on the fact that Chazal said it, part of the binding nature of the Gezeira is the fact that people observed it, is the Hanhaga of following that Gezeira. So if that's the case, it could be that when Chazal make this gezeira, that everyone's got it, or this takana, that everyone has to lean. And Nisha Chashuva has to lean also. It's not just the rule that's binding. Since women in general never leaned, it never became binding on women for all times. Now, if the Svara were still there, we would still say women should lean. But the Svara is not there anymore. So there's no binding nature of it on women because it was never widely accepted by women. The roved tzibur of women never actually did a seba. That, I think, is the approach of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, question?
The takana was actually on the woman also, which is on Isha Cheshuva, is that our word?
Uh-huh.
That was the takana, that was the word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, so Rav Shlomo Zalman is putting more emphasis, more importance on I guess, Minig Yisrael, on what.
Yes, that's why I'm trying to emphasize now. I think that what you need to be most of from Shlomo Zalman is that part of any takana is how it's followed, is what happened afterwards.
But it's more important. I'm saying, meaning when it was followed, meaning women did lean, just Isha Cheshuva. I'm saying so.
Yeah, but the reason we can't undo a gezeira is because once Rov Klal Yisrael does it, we can't undo it. It's not just once Chazal say it. It's once Chazal say it and Rov Klal Yisrael does it, you can't undo it. But over here, Rov Nashim never did it.
No, because
they didn't have to. Ein Hachinami. But therefore, it doesn't become binding to the extent that when the reason no longer applies, we're now allowed to ignore it when the reason no longer applies. Without Hanhaga of Rov Klal Yisrael.
Even though
it was
made within
Takana, right? Enochinami. So I think that's his understanding.
Obviously, they didn't have much change it later on. If it changed, meaning they said this group of people shouldn't be leaving. And if it changes, I mean, it makes sense within Takana to say that it shouldn't change later on. That makes sense.
Right. Enochinami. But again, part of the binding nature of it is not just what they had in mind, but it's also how it actually played out. So since there was, meaning the whole reason that we have to continue to keep a takana even though the tam no longer exists, is not mikoach the fact that Chazal said it. It's mikoach the fact that Klal Yisrael did it.
Yeah, women did it, just the women that applied.
Yeah, but there's no tradition to maintain. The tam doesn't apply anymore. If the tam still applied, we'd be bound by what Chazal actually said. We'd have to follow what Chazal said. When the tam no longer applies, what binds us is not what Chazal said. It's what the tzibur did.
Which tam?
The tam of the gezeira, that we want to feel cheirus, that we want to feel a sense of cheirus. The binding nature of a gezeira whose tam no longer exists is the hanhaga of the tzibur. That would be, I think, what you'd have to say according to Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach. Now, a third approach. I've heard Rabbi Kamenetsky say many times from Rav Gorelick. I've never seen it in print, but they quote B'Shem Rav Gorelick the following approach. The Ha'ara has been made several times already that every single time in Shas we apply Afin Ha'ibosa Anes, it's always a din of Persume Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Rav Gorelick suggested the following. When we do a Seba, It could be that there are tzvei dinim in a seva, that there are two kiyumim in the mitzvah of a seva. There's pesumei nisa, and there's zecher l'nes. There is the element that we are publicizing the miracle by sitting in a weird way, to the extent that children look at us and they ask a question, what are you doing? So weird. By the way, the fact that it's even part of the Manas Shtana tells you that it was no longer the practice for people to lean. If it was still the practice for people to lean, then a kid wouldn't be asking, what's so strange? It's not strange at all. Everyone always leans. The fact that a kid asks, why are you leaning? That's so weird. Means that already was out of practice, right? It was already something that we don't do. But anyway, there's two dinim, he says. There's presumi nisa. By doing this leaning, we're showing and demonstrating in a clear, demonstrative way that we feel a sense of freedom and that we're being mefarsem the freedom that our forefathers felt. And then there's zecher l'nes. What's zecher l'nes? So zecher l'nes doesn't mean that I am being, that anyone understands this or that this makes any sense nowadays, but it just means that if this is the way it happened with my forefathers, it's the way I'm supposed to relive it. Now, there's a minag, Sfaradim have, Kaf HaChaim quotes, that people have to put the matzah on their shoulders and walk around the table. Does it make sense? The matzah is already at the table. You don't need to schlep it or around the table on your shoulders. Why does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to do. No, why does it make sense? Because we're trying to reenact and relive what was done years ago. Not as a presuming, he says, hey, say chalanes. We want to reenact what actually happened. Not because it makes sense in our context, but we're trying to show what the story was and to relive and reenact the story. Good? Yeah?
How far do you have to go then?
Okay, so Chazal had an idea, Haseba. They did not require putting the matzah on the shoulder, but that's a nice minhag. So anything you would do that would reflect what they did would be a nice minhag, would be an appropriate thing to do, to reenact. You want to wear a toga, you know, because that's what they wore? So it's a day, go wear a toga, you know, whatever makes you feel like you're reenacting the way they lived, so that's good enough. That would be a great kiyum. But Chazal said at least a requirement of a seba for this purpose. Now, men are chayiv in both elements, right? Men have to do a zecher l'nes, and they also have to do presumi nisa. Good. Women are chayiv in a seba. Why? Because afin hoyibos v'anes. Afin hoyibos v'anes is only a mechayiv in presumi nisa. Every case of afin hoyibos v'anes in all of Shas is always Persumei Nisa. So any time a woman is chayiv because of Avin Rebos Ares, it's only a mechayiv in Persumei Nisa. So if a man is chayiv in a seba for two reasons, because he has Zech L'Nes and he's got Persumei Nisa, a woman's only going to be chayiv for one reason, namely Persumei Nisa, right? Because it's all Avin Ayu. What does the Rav Yah do? The Rav Yah comes along and says, well, a seba doesn't make sense nowadays. Which element of the mitzvah does that erase? Does that effectively nullify? It nullifies the presume nisa element. Because you're not being mefarsem anything to anybody if no one gets what you're doing. You're just sitting weirdly. It doesn't mean freedom nowadays, it means weird nowadays. One second. But as a zecher l'nes, this is what they did, and therefore I recall what they did, and I reenact, and I do exactly like they did. I put the matzah on my shoulder, and I lean like they did. It doesn't matter whether it still makes sense. It's what they did, and therefore I would still do it. So says Rav Guralik, it's beautiful. Men are chayiv in both elements, zech l'nes and presumei nisa. The Rav Yah comes along, and he erases presumei nisa, because it's simply not mefarsim anything anymore. But what do you still have? A man is still going to be chayiv because he's still chayiv in zecher l'nes. Women are only chayiv in the first place in the persumei nisa element. They were never chayiv in the zecher l'nes element. Comes along the Rav Yah and he erases that persumei nisa element. And what does a woman have left? Nothing. There's no chayiv left whatsoever. Rabbi Wolf asked me this morning if maybe this could explain the Sheet of the Bahag by Kriyas HaMegillah. Sheet of the Bahag is that a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. Why not? Why can't she be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah? So he thought maybe Mikra Megillah is also Zecher l'nes and Persumei Nisa. a woman is only chayiv mishamaf hein, therefore she's only chayiv in presume nisa. Melish can't be motzi a man. Why? Because he has a double chiyuv. She only has one chiyuv, and one person, a person can never be motzi someone who has a higher level chiyuv. Now, I wasn't sure that that was true. I don't think that that's an accurate application. Because by Mikra Megillah, I don't think there's a zechel in this. Meaning, I don't think that we're reenacting that they read the story. I think it's all presumed nisa. So the woman's chiyuv and the man's chiyuv from that perspective is the same. The real explanation of the Shitas of Ahag, why women cannot be motzi men in Mikra Megillah, is probably something else we've been learning for the last week. And that is that when a woman becomes chayiv mishamafin haribos ha'anes, her level of chiyuv, at least according to Tosfos in Megillah, not according to Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, but according to Tosfos in Megillah, the level of chiyuv is only going to be midrabanan. Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah midivrei kabbalah, a little higher than a derabanan. Maybe that's the explanation of the Bahag. A woman is chayiv mishamafin haribos ha'anes, so she's only chayiv midrabanan. She can't be motzi man who's chayiv midivrei kabbalah. That though would only apply for the daytime reading, because the nighttime reading, even for a man, is only derabanan, it's not midivrei kabbalah. So that would only explain that in daytime reading, a woman would not be able to be motzi a man. You had a question on this whole mahalich?
I'm not sure yet though.
What?
I'm rethinking.
Okay. Think all you want. It's good. Thinking is a good thing. We encourage it. So those are the three basic approaches, I think, to understanding this Ramah. Again, the simplest of all the approaches, that maybe since women is a discussion in the first place, so it's ki'ilu, almost a suffix in the first place, so the Rav Yoz is enough of an additional sniff to be matir for women not to leave. Second approach of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that nowadays no woman is a shifcha labayla, so the whole thing doesn't... nowadays... The Rav Yoz is obviously right that it doesn't make sense. The only reason men do it is to uphold tradition. Women don't have any tradition to uphold. And the third approach, Shem Rabbi Goralik. You know who Rav Goralik was? He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He was a Rashiva in YU for 40 years or so. He said Shem in YU. But he was always like very... His children never heard of YU. He was very, very yeshivish. I don't know. Very charif kind of personality. They say that when he would have a chiddush, the whole Beis Medrash would shake. Run over to people, grab him by the shirt. I have a chiddush! He's all excited, very excitable of character. This chiddush must have gotten him very excited because it's gorgeous. No? That there's a double chiyuv, presuminisa and zechlenes, and that women are only chayiv in the presuminisa, the Rav Yoh gets rid of the presuminisa. Fine, shine. So that's in terms of women in this thing. Two more things I wanted to discuss about Aseba, and I had to take a look around a little bit, Torbis Yosef. One is a lefty. What does a lefty do by Aseba? Does a lefty lean on the right side? A righty leans on the left side. So what does it say about, why is it that we lean on the left side and not on the right side? So the Gemara says that Asebas Yamin lo shme Aseba. To lean on your right side is not called Haseba. Prakton lo shme Aseba. To lean on your back is not, well, said the other way around. First it said, praktal noshme aseba, to lie on your back is not called aseba, then asebis yimin noshme aseba, leaning on your right side is not called aseba. Then the Gemara says, shema yaktim kana leveshet, we don't want you to choke, so you got to be careful not to choke. What's that going on, shema yaktim kana leveshet? Is that talking about if you're lying on your back, or is that going on asebis yimin? What? Oh, maybe both, okay. Says the Rashbam, second wide line on the page, Kuf Chesamad Aleph. Shema Yaktim, says the Rashbam, a prakton ka'i. It's going on the case of prakton and lying on your back. That's where there's a concern for choking. And he gives some biological explanation of how you'll choke when you lie on your back. And he says, Kach Pirish Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's what Rabbeinu Shlomo explains. Who's Rabbeinu Shlomo? Any idea? Rashbam calls Rabbeinu Shlomo? Rashi. He's going to his grandfather. V'kashali amaylo samchei lahai v'lo asebi simin. He says it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, because think about the order of the Gemara statements. Prakton, no good. Leaning on your right, no good. Don't choke. So what? Statement number three, don't choke, is going back to statement number one. It's not going back to statement number two. It doesn't read so nicely, says Rashbam. And therefore he says, Rabosai Pirshu, my Rebbeim say, who are your Rebbeim? Rashi's your Rebbe, no? What did it say at the beginning of the 10th Parak? When the Rashbam started writing. Pirish Rabbeinu Shmuel Talmid Rashizal. That's what it says in the Gemara. Here, from here on, we have the Pirish of the Rashbam, Talmud Rashi. I guess he had other Rebbeim also. So he rejects Rashi and he says, my Rebbeim say, Shemi Yaktim Kana Leveshet Deveshet Havi Al Tzad Yemin. The windpipe is on the right side. Sorry, the esophagus is on the right side. V'niftach HaKovash Al Piyakana Me'elav. And the cap for the windpipe will open up. Kishu mata klape yamin, when you lean on the right side, v'mikanis ma'amaych l'reisakana, and food might get into the windpipe, and that's going to be dangerous, right? Shein ochel mashkum nusknasin el derech haveshet. You want your food to go down the food pipe, not the windpipe. So it's going to go down the wrong pipe because they're side by side, right and left. Leaning on the right is gonna cause the covering of the windpipe to come off and open it up, and therefore food is going to end up getting down the windpipe. Good. So that's how the Rashbam understands. One second. Yeah.
If we discover now that like one of them is dangerous and one's not.
This is a major question, because nowadays we know that it's not even, they're not even side by side. It's not true that one in front of the other. And it's not really dangerous to eat on your right side. So, is this going to matter in the halacha? Okay, so let's take a look at how this halacha plays out. The Rashbam in Dibra Maschil Hasebis Yemin says something else also. Previous Rashbam, much shorter Rashbam. Before he gets into the choking reason, he says another reason why you can't lean on your right side. Shaharei biyamino hu tzarech leechol. Don't lean on your right side, because that will immobilize your right hand. And if you're a righty, you need to eat with your right hand. That's why you shouldn't lean on your right side. Oh, so now we're already seeing the makings of a nafkamina. We have 2 days, why not to lean on your right side? Number one, sloshmei aseba, because you need your right hand to eat. Number two, Shemi Yaktim Kadal Vesha, at least the way the Rashbam understands, the way the Rashbam's Rebbeim understands, Shemi Yaktim Kadal Vesha, you may choke. Nafkamina will be a lefty. Right? If a lefty leans on his right side, Adrabah will be more comfortable. He'll have his left hand to eat with. But if it's an issue of choking hazard, so we assume that his windpipe and his food pipe are the same in a lefty as they are in a righty. So if it's a choking hazard for a righty to lean, it's a choking hazard for a lefty to lean also. Says the Rush, Simon Chaf, quotes both of these reasons. He says, according to the first reason, a lefty should lean on his right side, because he's used to eating with his left hand, exactly like we said. But according to the second reason, then there's no difference between a lefty and a righty, and a lefty should also lean on his left side. Right? This exact nafkamina, the Rush says. Says the Chumash Hadesh and La Halacha, what should we do? So he says, we should be machmir like the second reason, Shemi Yaktim Kana Leveshet, because what's the risk if the whole issue is about having your strong hand available to eat? What if you get it wrong, right? So if you get it wrong, you'll end up eating with your weaker hand. Okay. Not so risky. You'll get the Halacha wrong. What's the risk if the issue is really a choking issue and you get it wrong? A person could die. Chamira sakanta mei isura. We have a rule in all of Shas that as seriously as we treat isur v'heter, we treat sakana even more seriously. We don't play games when it comes to sakana. Memela, we should be machmir that a lefty should lean on his left side also, not on his right side. We don't want to play games with sakana. Good, that's what Chumash Hadeshin says. What about not a lefty? What about if you have a person who's missing a hand? Guy doesn't have a right hand. Or he has a mum on his right hand where he's not able to eat with his right hand. So we said, okay, everyone should lean on the left. because Shemayakdim Karna Leveshet, right? If you have someone who doesn't have a right hand, if he leans on his left, then what's going to happen? Can he? If he's leaning on his left, unless someone's feeding him. So what would you say in that case?
Feeding him is pretty kingly.
Pretty kingly to feed him. Although many people may say that, right, that when they're being fed, they feel like an invalid. So the Bir Halacha in Tafayin Beis, the Bir Halacha raises the suffix of a Gidei, and he says, if he leans on his right side, well, now he'll be able to eat because he'll have his left hand free, right? The guy's missing a right arm. So if he leans on his right side, he'll be able to eat, but Shemi Yaktim Karna Leveshet. He might choke. But if he leans on his left side, how's he going to eat? A lefty is one thing. He could struggle and eat with his right hand. What's this guy supposed to do? So the Bir Halacha says, Efshar, that the Chum didn't require a Seba at all in this case. The Tzarachim. Maybe he doesn't have to lean. He's an Anus. To lean on his right side is going to be Sakana. Can't do Sakana. Can't even risk Sakana. To lean on his left side is to not eat. We don't require that. Now, all of this is assuming that the sakana of Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet is that leaning on your right is what causes the problem, because somehow, biologically, when you lean on your right, something gets messed up inside where the cap of something comes off and opens up the windpipe and makes it... That's not agreed upon by everybody. There is a Shibalei Aleket. Bir Halacha points this out. There's a Shibalei Aleket that says, no, you know why it's a sakana to choke when you lean on your right side? If you're a righty, throughout the year, which side would you normally lean on? If you're a righty? Your left, certainly, right? I mean, correct? You lean on your left, always, throughout the year. If you're a lefty, you'd probably lean on your right side throughout the year. Says the Shibalei Aleket, Shemi Yaktim Karna Leveshet is that if you put yourself in a new, uncomfortable, unfamiliar position, you're likely to jerk your neck around in such a way where you're going to end up choking. It's not that something's going on inside that when you lean this way that something comes off of the windpipe and opens it up. No, it's just that when you're eating in an uncomfortable way, you're just going to jerk your head or whatever, try to get comfortable, and you're going to move around, and that's going to end up choking you. And that's why you're going to end up choking. Well, so if that's the case, a lefty Vadai should lean on his right side, because that's what he's more comfortable with. That's what he's always comfortable with. And a guy who's missing an arm should lean on the side that he's missing the arm, so that he could have the available arm, because that's the way he always eats. It would also turn out, according to the Shibalei Aleket, that for us, we shouldn't lean at all, because all of us become the Gidim then, the Bir Halacha's Gidim, right? Bir Halacha says when your options are either choke or don't eat. Meaning or don't lean. Well, those are your three options. Leaning on your right side, you're going to choke. Leaning on the gidem, right? Leaning on your left side, you're not going to eat. Not leaning at all, and you won't choke, and you will be able to eat. So don't lean at all, said the Bir Halacha. It would turn out, if the Shibalei Aleket were correct, that the whole din of a seba wouldn't apply nowadays. Because whenever we lean, we're doing something strange and unusual and unfamiliar. And mela, it's going to be a choking hazard. Good.
I think with Chizkiu Nebuchadnezzar, maybe that's the last chance for someone else.
Yeah.
And he said that we just don't hold by science. Like, science doesn't change a lot. That's like his general.
They should still, even though we know better, you should still, that a lefty should still
lean to his left.
Lean to his left. Okay, good. What's my cloak supposed to be? The Bach in Tafayin Beis discusses the following. Yeah, right. The Bach in Tafayin Beis discusses the following. What if you did lean on your right side? And we said if you ate matzah below a seba, what do you have to do? You have to eat matzah again. Right? What if you ate matzah beh sebas yamin? Do you need to eat matzah again? So Lou, you tell me. Think it through. If the problem of a sebas yamin is that it's choking, yeah, no, so
you don't choke.
You already did, and you guess what? You're alive to tell about it. You didn't choke. Mazel tov. Fantastic. So you would say what? You're good to go. You don't have to eat again. You did a seba. The only concern was choking. It's not that it's not a seba. It's a seba. You didn't choke. Wonderful.
But it's not what they call the seba, though.
Seba
is...
Oh, 1 second. Let's first play it out. But if you say that the time for a seba simin being problematic is that it's not cheirus to eat with your left hand. You want to eat with your right hand. That's cheirus. So what you experienced wasn't cheirus. And therefore you need to do a seba again. So one could make that argument. However, Prichadash disagrees with the Bach for exactly the reason Evan says. Look at the lashon of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Hasebas yamin lo shmei haseba. It's simply not called haseba. Meaning, once Chazal were misaking that this is how we define haseba, that is the only definition of haseba. And you can do all sorts of comfortable and happy and royal things, but it's not Haseba. Haseba is b'smol and up yamin. That's the Machlokas HaPoskim, Machlokas HaBach and the Pri Chadash. Ben Lefnei Aviv, Talmud B'fnei Rabbo. Last issue of Haseba I wanted to do. Ben Lefnei Aviv, Talmud B'fnei Rabbo. So Tosfos over here writes, B'fnei Rabbo ain tzarech Haseba, says Tosfos, Nira da'aviv v'hu Rabbo. So what do we say? A son by his father, does he need a Haseba or not need a Haseba? What do we say? What did the Gemara say? Son by his father needs a Haseba. Talmud B'fnei Rabbo sound like Machlokas Rabbo and Rav Yosef. But at least there's a possibility, Emas Rabbo alav, that if it's his real Rebbe, his Rebbe of learning, not his carpentry Rebbe, right, his real Rebbe, then he doesn't need a Haseba. So, what's Pshat? Is Pshat that a son by the father doesn't need a Haseba? I'm sorry, does need a Haseba? And that there's not going to be any patur as long as he's your father? Is it a din in your father that makes it that you're chayiv in a seba? Or is the din that when he's your Rebbe, it's a patur from a seba? What do I mean? What if he's both? What if he's your Rebbe and he's your father? Do you need a seba or not? Do we say, oh, well, if he's your father, so then you need a seba. I don't care that he's your Rebbe, you need a seba. Or do you say, no? If he's your Rebbe, you know, you need to have mora. What? Because he's also your father, you can have less mora. As a Rebbe, you'll have more mora if he's your Rebbe. If he's your father and your Rebbe. So you shouldn't need a seba. Says Tosfos, Nira da avivu rabo, nami ein tzarech, do lo garame rabo acher. He's no worse than any other Rebbe. Just because he's your father, he's not going to downgrade the level of mora. Aye, but every father is a Rebbe. Chayiv adam lamin espanol Torah. And not only that, a son always has mora of his father. Ish aviv imo tiro, imav aviv tiro. But still you need to be meisiv in front of your father. So what this may depend on is what's the reason that one doesn't do a seba, that one does do a seba in front of his father. One possibility is that there's an assumption that your father's always mocha. Enochinami, you're supposed to have mora of your father, and you should have that mora, but the father's mochel. Why is the father mochel? Because you're growing up every year, you're always going to eat by him, and he wants to be mechanech you to do mitzvahs, so he wants you to lead. He's always mochel. Another possibility might be that the nature of the mora that you have for an av is different than the nature of the mora you have for a rebbe. That any feeling that a person has of sarara in front of a rebbe is inappropriate. What's the mora of an av? Don't get in his way. Don't sit in his seat. Don't argue with him. Don't butt in on his conversations. That's how the Gemara defines mora of an av. But to feel like royalty, to have a position of sarara in your own right, maybe that's okay. You just can't step on his toes. Mora of a rebbe is feeling any sense of sarara. The mela would turn out, depending which of these reasons you hold of as to why you're supposed to lead in front of your father, that's what the issue of Aviv Shu Rabba would depend on. If you say, like the first understanding, that the assumption is that every father is automatically mochel, well, when your father's your Rebbe, is he mochel too? Probably. He's not going to be less likely to be mochel just because he's your Rebbe. So he's probably mochel also, so then you wouldn't leave. But if you say that, no, it's the reason you're allowed to lean by your father is because the nature of the mora that you have for your father is a different kind of mora. Well, if he's your Rebbe, you got to have both kinds of mora. The kind of mora that you wouldn't lean in front of also. The Mela, father who's your Rebbe, like Tosa said, you would have to lean in front of him. You would not be allowed to lean in front of him. Because that's a feeling of Sarara that a person has in front of a Rebbe. Okay, we'll stop there. That's the basic essay. So tomorrow I want to try to move on to the mitzvah of Chinuch. And Amid Beis, we discussed Dalit Kosos for children. Mitzvah of Chinuch. I'll have Numar Makomos, hopefully.